Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Share the Podcast.
That's the best intro ever. You sound like what's his name? The guy from the Muppets? Count Dracula. Is he the one that goes one? Nah, yeah. That's who you sound like. Great intro.
I was going for Gary Oldman, but.
No.
So, as always, I am joined by my co-host Lorraine.
What up, motherfuckers?
And in this episode, our discussion will be going dark and deep as we discuss a disturbing array of vampire movies.
By the way, you picked this one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, well done. You can do some things, right?
How about fuck you? So we're changing it up, aren't we?
From changing here up the format.
Out. Yeah, yeah. So you're going to get a little heaven and hell section, a quick fire round section, but we'll tell you more about those as we go along.
Uh-huh.
So let's get into it.
How you been?
That was my life.
You can't always ask first.
Yeah, man, I'm good. I've been all right. I've rode an e-bike, which...
Do you know when I... Because we write a notes down in this joint thing, and I didn't see the e bit, and I just see rode a bike.
I rode a bike.
Loved it, and I was like... I to myself, I was like, well done, Harry. But it's one that kind of speeds up on its own, so you don't really have to do much work.
No, you still have to do work. But
I've seen the Instagram story. You were not doing much work.
That was so much fun. No, like, it's like, instead of, like, struggling up a hill so you can go down, get to the top of the hill faster.
Is that what we've turned into? A lazy nation of people that can't even be bothered to cycle. We have to
I tell you what, mate. I haven't, like, cycled in about a year and a bit. I used to be quite into my
You used outside. To go quite a bit, didn't you?
Yeah, and this got me out and in love, and I was enjoying it. And it's even to the point where I'm going on... I'm going to the mountains next weekend over Easter, and I'm going to fucking ride up a mountain.
You're going with Alec?
Yeah. I'm going to try and ride up a mountain.
Yeah. I'm
going to rephrase it. Press that boost button.
I'm sorry, and I know I'm in the house of worship when it comes to cycling, and I probably get shot through the ceiling for saying this, but I just don't like cycling.
Get out.
I just don't like it. It hurts your bum.
It did. I was suffering for like 3 days.
It does. Like, can you not get like special cushions?
Yeah, Alex got like this nappy thing that cushions his bum. But his bum feels really good in it. Sorry, Grace.
So was that Alex's bike?
Yeah,
it's his bike. How many bikes does he have?
I'm not going to say.
Is there that many?
No, but...
Okay.
They're not cheap.
All right, okay. They're in a vault.
Yeah, and also I went to... I was invited by blogger and colleague Tara Kane down to the special opening of the Warner Brothers Harry Potter studio tour for the Gringotts Wizarding Bank thing. And it was sick.
I seen the Aaron from Sorry MIC. He was down there as well. So he got to see Gringotts too. And the Forest of Spiders. I can't remember what it's called. What's it called again?
The Black Forest.
Yeah, that looks quite
it's cool,
freaky, man.
Yeah, when the like the smoke comes in, it's awesome. Yeah, so me and Aaron rule, and you guys suck.
No, because I remember the first time I went to Harry Potter, they didn't have platform 9 3/4.
Oh, I know.
And then I went back and had platform, and then they keep adding stuff. So we're going to wait until Riley's a bit older and then we're going to go again. And hopefully by then they would have added something else. But the Gringotts Bank thing looked amazing. The dragon.
Yeah, sick. I audibly went, wow. And Jesus. Like, it just came out of me naturally. I was so impressed. And the woman laughed at me because as I rounded the corner into it, I was just like, she was just like, yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend going and checking that out.
Oh, no, we will. We're just going to wait until she's a bit older because she just wouldn't appreciate it now.
Well, you could always just come here and we'll go on the Seven Valley Railway if you want some 9 3/4 kind of action.
I love trains.
What? All right, Sheldon.
I do. I love trains. Do you? Not trains as in like the train from Bath to Bristol type thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I mean old a steam trains. Yeah.
You know when you get on...
Mate, we'll go for a walk along the reservoir and you can see it and it's like... It's sick. I love it. It's a great feeling.
I got a... For my brother's... It was birthday or Christmas. I paid... when we lived up north, we went on a like a steam train. Me, him, Devon. Riley was like 6 months old. Yeah. And we had like a roast dinner and some prosecco. Oh, I love trains. And then me and Dev went to a train museum.
Okay, you're pushing it now.
No, I loved it. It was amazing. I didn't know anything about trains. I just like looking at them.
They filmed parts of Sherlock with Robert Downey Jr. at the Seven Valley Railway.
Really?
Like, yeah. And he was like, I think he was up at the hotel at the road. What? Oh. I know.
I don't know what to say.
You look gutted. Really sad. Why?
I know, I am sad.
So what have you been up to anyway? Looking at trains.
Well, now it sounds a lot boring, really. No, I haven't really been up to much. It was Riley and Dev's birthday.
Uh-huh.
So we were doing stuff with them. And I went and saw, which we've done an After the Credits on, which I also had a wow moment to. I saw Us, Jordan Peele's Us.
I know, I'm rather jealous.
You should be.
Well, it's your fault I didn't see it.
No, it's not. It's your time management is the reason you didn't see it. Yes, it is.
I watched all the other films.
Harry was meant to go and see it on Thursday, and she goes, I can't go see it because I have to watch Silence of the Fucking Lambs.
I said sodding.
Paraphrasing. But speaking of Silence of the Lambs, myself and Harry, as she mentioned, Heaven and Hell, we've decided to kind of, instead of telling you what we've watched.
Should we do a little chit song? That's the third time someone sang that at me today.
Oh, so good. But yeah,
who
no.
Who sings that, by the way?
I can't remember his name now. I can't remember. Yeah, sure. As you know, myself and Harry.
Sure.
Have very different opinions on what is a good film and what isn't. Mm-hmm. So we decided to put this little... section in called Heaven and Hell so that we could kind of push the other person a little bit, a little gentle nudge, one would say, to partake in a viewing of a film one might not generally watch.
Mm-hmm.
And we put out a poll, and I put out The Shining and Silence of the Lambs, and Silence of the Lambs won, so Harry had to watch that, and Harry put out Atonement and Road to Perdition for me, and Road to Perdition won. And I also put out a couple of polls asking which film's the best, Silence of the Lambs or Road to Perdition, and everyone picked Road to Perdition. Oh, sorry, they didn't actually. Everyone picked Silence of the Lambs. So, you know, obviously that's the better film.
I don't think you think that anymore. I think you're all about Road to Perdition.
I will never betray my lambs.
There ain't any fucking lambs in it.
So, Harry, go on. What did you think?
I think, unfortunately...
Oh, fuck
no, no, no.
Off.
Rude. Should we even bother? You listen to what I have to say.
Yeah, but
say.
You can start with unfortunately. Go on. Go on. I'll let you talk.
Yeah, let me finish, right?
I'm letting you.
I'm finishing. I think it's one of those films that has unfortunately suffered at the hands of time. And that... No, don't flay your nostrils. I just think... I have seen it too late, perhaps, because I've seen
so... Oh, had you never seen it before?
No, I think I saw it about 5 years ago.
Yeah. But did you watch it, or was it kind of just on?
It was just on.
Yeah.
But I watched it this time. And I just think, because I've seen so many, like, is the word pastiches and, you know, homages to it and stuff, nothing in it was sort of fresh and, you know, and I also... Yeah, I just think I knew what was coming. Nothing was that hard hitting in it, and it almost seemed a bit comic-y because I'd seen so many rip-offs, like jokey rip-offs of it, like, you know, Jennifer Saunders and all that, you know, French and Saunders kind of rip-offs. And the scene in the cell, that's all I was thinking. I'm really sorry.
Did you think the acting was good?
Yeah.
Did you like the whole way he, you know, because he did Philadelphia, you know, the whole like the way he...
I don't like his film like style. Kind of, no, no, sorry. I didn't like that in Philadelphia.
Oh, you didn't?
It took it. It makes it feels like it for some reason. It just makes it feels like a state feel like a stage play. I didn't find the story that satisfying either, if I'm honest. Mm. Like,
I just died a little inside.
Sorry, I don't mean I'm not dissing it because it's before this reason. I'm being very genuine here.
It Do you think you would have liked it if you saw it 15 years? Well,
that's what I'm saying.
You like, would have.
I might have, but at the same time, I'm still like, well...
Is it just not your thing?
It's not my thing, but also the threads and the story didn't quite come together for me. And I tell you what, though, the character who was the scariest was the doctor.
He's horrible, isn't he?
He's vile.
Yeah, no, he is.
I was watching the scenes with him thinking...
He just wants to be famous, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he's disgusting. Is he the one who's got his face eaten off in Hannibal?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I don't remember Hannibal because I've only watched it once.
It's not great.
I've never been a big fan of the anything else. But that, although I must say, I did watch, which I'm going to touch on in when we get into the main part of it, the TV show.
I liked Hannibal. The TV show.
Yeah, I only watched season one.
It's Brian Fuller, isn't it? He's good.
It's very well done, actually. Yeah, but I was never like. What is it? The Red Dragon and
no, I didn't
Hannibal and stuff like that. I thought the Red Dragon was a bit too violent for me. And there were certain things in Hannibal that were like, whoa.
Yeah.
Isn't it Ray Liotta who's top of his head?
He's eating his own brain.
He's eating his own brain, yeah.
Spoiler.
And I think as well, like, even though I think Julianne Moore did a good job, I think, you know, there's certain roles like you find, no, that's their role. Like for me, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter is... Anthony Hopkins and Jodie Foster.
Mm.
Although, what's his name? Mads Mikkelsen does a great job as it. He really does. But to me, it's just... to me, they will always be the right people for it. And anything else, you know, not that it's bad, but it's never as good.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, they were both very good at it.
Yeah.
She was very young in it as well.
Yeah, she would have been.
Yeah.
It's just nearly 30 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So what do you think of Road to Perdition? I thought that was a good one to give you.
I fucking loved it.
Yay!
No, I really...
Oh, that's really good.
No, I really did. Because I watched over 2 days, to be honest with you. And it's a very dark film to watch and very sad. A sad film to watch. But the cinematography... by Conrad Elho is just
beautiful,
fucking breathtaking.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Nearly every single shot.
And it kind of, I didn't know that he did American Beauty, but it kind of makes sense. And there's just like a couple of shots in it where I was like, you know, one of them in particular, the way, you know, when Jude Law takes the photographs.
Yeah, the dead
you know, that first one that he takes of the train in the background and the way the camera's set up and the way... You know, but the best shot for me, which is probably everyone's best shot, is the umbrellas, the silhouettes of the people and the umbrellas and the rain and the darkness and the cars. And
did you not like well up at that scene as well?
When Paul Newman turned around and said, I'm glad it was you.
Oh my God.
Because there was, I watched the second, because I kept on saying to Dev, like after I watched the first one, I was like, Dev, you'd really like this. And he watched the second part. So about the last 50 minutes and he loved it.
That's good.
And we were talking about, because basically, for those who don't know, Tom Hanks's character is basically, you know, out for revenge for the death of his wife, who was by a guy's son that reared him as his own. So it's like, you know, it's a big kind of like incestuous thing that's going on here. And so when he goes up and when Paul Newman says to him, look, leave. And he doesn't. I got really annoyed because I was like, you know, you've got a son here that's still alive. You could go off and start a new life, but your own anger is, you're so consumed that rather than that, you do something about it. You go off and do it. Now, granted, at the time, he kind of got away with it. But it was just all so sad. Like, you know, even though he killed the guy who killed his wife and kid, you didn't feel the satisfaction of him getting revenge because so much like happened to get him there. I didn't get that kind of like, oh, now you know, and I knew full well that when he'd done it was driving off, I was like, this is not the end. You are not going to survive this.
I don't think he is a man who would be happy continuing to live without his family. So in the end, I think, even though he probably didn't want to die, and he, I think he was kind of like at peace just before he died because he was like...
But his son was, what, 14?
But he probably had a better life for not being on the run with a hitman.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were going to go and live in the shack, the house, weren't they, on the beach, you know, and hopefully they'd had all that money and stuff. Mm. I don't know. I just, that kind of was a bit...
It was sad.
I understood it. I understood it. Yeah, it was a total bittersweet. But no, I just thought it was... And there was a lot of music throughout this. Like, the score was exceptional. And it was like, even like when they were... Which you don't get... Not that I can recall, but like, you don't get a lot of that. But even... Usually music, I find, is almost there to fill a gap when no one's talking. But even when people were talking, there was...
The music constant is so powerful in this film. I wrote a massive essay about it at uni.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
Yeah, about the music of Thomas Newman, because he's just an amazing composer.
Yeah.
But it really gives character, especially like, I can't remember Jude Law's character now, his name. Anyway, but that character, when he's turning up to take the photographs, and it's all like this crazy, almost Gaelic kind of cacophony. And it's just like...
Yeah,
I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
No, it did. It all worked really well together, but I found it really sad. I did find it really sad.
Yeah,
and it was it was a really, like, I was looking at Tom Hanks play his character, and he's quite, you don't usually see Tom Hanks angry in film, that angry. Do you know what I mean? But I was kind of looking at it, and I was like, and then I started thinking of things like Philadelphia and Forrest Gump and all these amazing things he's done, and even, you know, Sleepless in Seattle and stuff like that. And I was like, he can literally do anything, this man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He really can. He's an exceptional actor. And I was like, and I always thought this, but this film, I was like, he really is. Like, do you know what I mean? He's amazing. And I don't know. I'm really glad I watched it. And I kind of wonder why I didn't watch it, because it's got Tom Hanks in it. Because you know, I love Tom Hanks. But, no, I just thought it was visually, it was stunning. It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is a beautiful film to watch. Even if you didn't actually like it, it's still beautiful to watch. Do you know what I mean?
I'm so glad. I'm so happy.
To be honest with you, I was like, I'm probably going to like this. Like, do you know what I mean? I probably am going to like this. But yeah.
Cool.
No, I really enjoyed it. Good. And I'm glad I watched it. And if Dev wanted to watch it, I'd sit and watch it with him again. So I would.
Good.
So yeah, I'm so glad it was that Over Atonement.
It's going to happen one day.
I know, I was thinking to myself, I was like, every poll is going to be this and Atonement, this and Atonement. And then one day I'd just say, she's fucking watching Atonement.
So in our new format, we are introducing a new segment called the 60 Second Celeb Bio. Yeah, so Lorraine is going to start this off with a lowdown on two chaps who are massive in her youth, the two Coreys. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock.
And then she's going to Oscar me.
Oscar?
You know, when the music comes up.
Oh, yeah. Okay, go. Okay.
The two Coreys are Haim and Feldman, extremely popular in the 80s with films such as The Lost Boys, License to Drive and Dream a Little Dream. The heartthrobs of their time, they hung on the walls of many a teen, including me. They both worked well together, yet also had a huge success in their own right. Feldman with The Goonies, Stand By Me, and Haim with Lucas and Silver Bullet. While both were at the top of their game in the 80s, they never really had the impact after that. Their lives quickly became tragic after they were both pushed aside by Hollywood. With the use of drugs and alcohol, Feldman has turned his life around while advocating for children who have been sexually abused. Unfortunately, Haim passed away in 2010, never really making a comeback.
34 seconds.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. Do you want to fill it up?
How come when I did it, I must have talked quicker?
Okay. Let's make a record out of this. And you've got 34 seconds. And so on the next episode, let's see what I get.
1 second. Brad Pitt. Done.
It's hot.
I was thinking that. It's hot.
Okay, cool. All right.
I love the two Coreys.
I don't know much about them.
No, they were...
Well, I do now.
You know loads. No, they were definitely like the pinups of the 80s. But it just went so wrong for the two of them. So wrong.
Yeah,
you know,
like it was sad incident.
It's very, very sad. But, you know, Feldman, like I said, is to do his, and apparently he doesn't do any drugs, drink anything now, and hasn't for a while. But yeah, no, they're, you know, they could have been so big. Like, they really could have, but it just...
didn't go that way.
It just didn't go that way. But I was obsessed with them. I kind of jumped. I wasn't very loyal. I kind of jumped between which one I fancied the most. I was more Haim than Feldman. But yeah.
Well, I can only comment on having seen The Goonies and The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
But more Feldman.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, at least we wouldn't fall out. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we need to think of someone now for you to do next week. Not next week. Next time.
Next time.
Yeah.
I can do that, don't worry.
Ooh, okay.
So now we're moving on to vampire movies.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Lorraine, tell us about vampire movies.
Vampires are said to originate from Eastern Europe, dating back to the late 17th century. They are mythological creatures who roam the earth at night to feed on the blood of mortals. This is typically done with the use of their fangs, where they kill them and turn them into vampires. While vampires are fictional, there are still some people out there who call themselves vampires and might feed on a dintsy-wincy type bit of blood.
I do like the taste of blood. You're right. No, man, like, you know when you, like, cut yourself and you're like, ooh, magnetic.
No!
All right.
Okay, if I go missing, I'm in Harry's house and...
Oh yeah, I'm well in. Behave.
Behave. Okay, for which I had completely forgotten about this guy, but the first film classed as a vampire film comes from the 1922 F.W. Murnau's Nosferatu.
Such a good film.
Actually, what Harry's written is fucking ace film.
I was trying to rein it in.
while this technically may not be the first, it is one of the most that people would think of.
Yeah.
The first vampire film dates back as far as 1912, which was a Russian short, The Secret of Manor Number 5. Ooh. And also another Russian film, 1920, Dracula. With a K. Dracula. Although these have apparently been lost in time. So it's,
oh, man.
Yeah, people don't know if they're actual contenders. But the most common name in the vampire genre comes from Bram Stoker for his 19th...
Do you mean Bram Stoker?
What did I say? Bram Stoker. Yeah, that guy.
I thought you were going to correct yourself, and then you didn't. I was like, I've got to say something.
Yeah, credit for me, yeah. For his 1897 gothic novel, Dracula... Can't talk. While Nosferatu is extremely similar to that of Dracula, he does not share the name. His name was Count Orlok.
It was.
A result of this had Stoker's mm-hmm. widow demanded a stop to the film and all copies be destroyed, but obviously some of them slipped through. Right. So yeah, apparently she wasn't happy about it. Yeah. And also there's this huge juxtaposition between Orlok and Dracula because he's
like a rat.
He doesn't look like human, does he? He's like this venomous, non-human person. And there is literally no sex appeal. But when you think about Dracula and stuff, there is, you know, they're kind of seductive creatures, aren't they, really? Exactly. And one of the most memorable Draculas in the 1930s to his death was the Hungarian-American actor Bela Lugosi. Mm. And Christopher Lee obviously deserves a mention as he starred in around 11 films as Dracula from 1958 to 1975 and was known as the King of the Vampires.
Was he really? Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah, and the Aaron message about Boris Karloff, who did, you know, some stuff with Bela Lugosi as well. So he was quite in that genre as well. Mm-hmm. And it's films I actually used to kind of watch a lot, but I haven't done in years. So I might kind of have a revisit of them because I only kind of revisited Bela Lugosi in the Ed Wood film because he had quite a strong relationship with him. He was in some of his films as well.
Oh, we didn't know that.
Yeah.
This is an education.
No, I know. But as the years moved on, there have been various versions of Dracula and vampire-esque films with the release of the Twilight films, which came out when I was in uni and Harry went to see them. Didn't you go at midnight once to see the third one?
The second one with Kat, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was good.
Yeah, and TV shows such as True Blood, Buffy, Angel, Vampire Diaries, and it's you know, the vampire thing is like a huge franchise. And I personally, I never got into it. I never got into the whole vampire thing.
Mate, I love my vampire TV shows.
Yeah, I just didn't, which is weird because I do love vampire films, like, do you know what I mean? But kind of after the 90s, I kind of...
Maybe you should watch Buffy.
I was thinking that the other day, actually.
I think it's time. We've been friends a long time now.
I did try and watch one episode once.
I've got the box sets. Like, well, I haven't, my sister has.
Is that on VHS?
No, I do have the VHS ones too. The DVDs.
I think Buffy's probably on Netflix or something, is it?
It's not on Netflix. It was, and now it's off. And I think it's because Hulu's bought them.
Oh, fucking Hulu.
I might be wrong, but yeah. I think it's on Sci-Fi quite a bit.
I watched Buffy the film with Kirsty Swanson.
Yeah.
And I liked that.
Yeah. It's good. It's fine. But the TV show's better.
Yeah, because I do like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, she's good. But she's not the only good thing in it. There's so many good things.
Okay.
Like, so many.
You look a bit pervy there, Harry.
I am for Buffy, the show.
Yeah, so that's like a little rundown of vampire films, a little bit of back history as to how they came about. Dracula. I like that. I prefer it if they said it with a K.
That's how Gary Oldman says it in Dracula.
I don't remember.
Dracula.
Is that the one with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder?
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. But
I think I remember liking that.
No, it's enjoyable, but it's terrible. It's one of them. It's very hammy, you know?
Hammy?
It's like Hammer Horror, but not...
Oh, right. I thought you meant like the meat.
Is that where that expression comes from, hammy? I mean, I don't know. But yeah, it's very sort of like over the top, dramatic. But what's his chops? Coppola, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. What's his chops?
That fantastic director. So, who's your favourite screen vampire, Lorraine?
It's probably Blade.
He's hot.
I do like David from The Lost Boys, Kiefer Sutherland's character. But Blade is just... Do you know what it is? I'm a sucker for martial arts. Love watching... I just think he's so slick. Do you know what I mean? He's a good vampire. You know what I mean? He's not out for his own selfish gain, I don't feel.
Mm.
You know, he's trying to do good. Whereas all the other vampires are just, you know, out for what they can get, really, aren't they?
Well, no.
They are.
You need to watch Buffy because Angel was bad, becomes good, has his conflicts. Various. And Edward Cullen, as much as they are shit, but the Twilight films, he's
normal. I can't watch the Twilight films.
No, I know they are.
Do not put them on the poll. No. If you put them on the poll, I am putting The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses.
I'm just not watching them.
Yeah, well, I'll be saying the same. We won't have much to talk about that week.
No.
I tried to watch part of the second one. This is when I could get them for free.
The second one's fine. Oh, well, in Blockbuster days.
Yeah. I like the wolves. They were cute.
Yeah, that's a credit to the Twilight films. The wolves, the way they do the wolves is really cool. The rest is crap.
So why were you so obsessed with it?
It's all about like sexual tension and shit, wasn't it? So I was down with that.
Get a vibrator.
Oh my God. Anyway. So do you want to know who my favourite vampire is?
Oh yeah, sorry, Harry. Who was your favourite vampire with all the sexual tension?
Do you think you'd mic dropped with the whole vibrator thing? mine is... It's probably Buffy. She was a vampire a little bit. It's probably Spike from Buffy.
Yeah.
He was ace. And he... now that I've had to re-watch some of these films for this,
yeah,
especially The Lost Boys, you can see an influence on Joss Whedon's creation of Buffy from those.
David. Yeah, because he's blondie haired.
Well, in the show.
Dressed kind of the same way as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he really
is. He a bit of a dick as well?
He's a bit of a dick, but he's like this, he's like you're a stereotypical English bad guy, you know. They like a lot of American shows, yeah. Bad guys, English. He's played by James Marsden, who's American, but he plays him really well. And he's just humorous.
Oh, is Spike English?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
And he, but apparently in the show, he's always saying that he's Billy Idol stole his look. Yeah, yeah. But he goes through a lot of stuff. But anyway, we have had a voice recording. Sorry, we've had a recording from Verbal Diorama, who is going to give us a bit of information on her thoughts on vampire movies.
Yeah, definitely. So have a listen to her.
Hi, Lorraine and Harry. It's Em from Verbal Diorama. When I heard you were doing vampire movies, I kind of had to weigh in. It's no secret that I hate horror movies. I actively avoid most scary movies because I hate being scared, but I have an affinity for vampire movies, so I guess I just don't find vampires that scary. Anyway, my love affair with vampire movies started in 1993-ish when I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula with my older cousins. I didn't get it at all. Then I watched it again when I was a bit old, and yeah, I got it then. Vampires equals sex, vampires equals lust, vampires equals desire. Teenage me was suddenly very interested in all of that. But I think vampires being a metaphor for sex and sexuality isn't a new thing. I think that's kind of what the whole genre is based on. But I do think the movie vampire genre has tried to steer away from that in recent years. Twilight. But really the reason I wanted to be here and be on your show is a little movie called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Buffy is something I'm also quite vocal about, but more for my love for it. And by it, I mean the TV show. But I do admit to having a fondness for the original movie and its very overly campy performances and general goofiness. Joss Whedon famously envisaged something a lot more serious than what we got. And because the TV show is so excellent, the movie's often derided. But honestly, it's not as bad as people make it out to be. And Jess agrees. It's just different to the Buffy that most people know and love. It has some really funny moments, and Christy Swanson is actually a really great Buffy. She's just not the Buffy that people know. And also, it has a song about funky chickens, so what's not to love? I went through phases of vampires early on. So Interview with a Vampire, and to be honest, I think that's still one of Tom Cruise's best performances. I'm not a massive fan of Tom Cruise in general, but I think that, and I think when he kind of doesn't play Tom Cruise, I think he's actually really good. I really like The Lost Boys and Near Dark. I actually saw them much later, but I was... Excuse me, I'm talking. She's very rude. She interrupts me all the time. I'm just going to ignore her and carry on. Like pretty much every person in the world, I was legit obsessed with Kiefer Sutherland because he was gorgeous in that film. Other movie-wise, I mean, Blade 2 is definitely the best Blade movie. Jess agrees. And I've always been a big fan of Guillermo del Toro, so I really love his visionary style. And the vampires in Blade 2 are actually really similar to the vampires that we see later for his TV show, The Strain. They're actually kind of... I think the ones in Blade 2 were based on the vision he had for The Strain. I'm not sure. Let the Right One In is a super creepy Swedish movie, and it was recently remade for the American audience, and it was called Let Me In. But Let the Right One In is so much better. From Dusk Till Dawn is probably the most gory and probably the most scary vampire movie that I've ever seen. And Only Lovers Left Alive, which to be fair, I only watched for Tom Hiddleston. I'm going to be honest. What We Do in the Shadows is the movie that actually kind of enticed me to come on, because it's a movie that I really, really love, and Taika Waititi is an actual genius. I'm just going to carry on. Actually, a movie that I really, really like is a movie called Daybreakers, and again, I don't think this is a movie that did so well, but the general premise of it is that basically vampires essentially rule the world, that there's so many of them. The world has been taken over by them, and the last few humans, that remain are essentially farmed for blood. But because the humans are running out, they're all dying, they have to come up with this blood substitute. And it's actually quite interesting. And so you asked me to mention my favourite on-screen vampire. So I guess my favourite on-screen vampire kind of has to be Spike from Buffy. just because he's, as a character, he's given, you know, 5 seasons of a TV show to grow and to develop, and he does some really shitty things, but he's really interesting. I can't really describe him without going into spoilers, but he's really interesting, and people should definitely check out Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie and the TV show, because the movie is okay, TV show is phenomenal. And that's really all I wanted to say. I'm really sorry that my cat disturbed me pretty much the whole recording. She's sitting on my lap now, looking like butter wouldn't melt. I hope that you have a great show, and I'm looking forward to listening. So take it easy and enjoy, and thanks for letting me on. Bye!
Not sure I agree on the Blade choice there, but
Blade 2. Yeah. I liked Blade 2. Wasn't the one of the twins from Bros was in that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good choice on the Spike thing, by the way. Oh okay. Yeah.
I think she did say David was from the Lost Boys was cute. I'll give her that one. I was a huge Kiefer Sutherland fan.
Oh really?
Oh god, yeah, I was obsessed with him in the 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who shall we get onto that when we get to that?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Oh, it's the first one.
Which is the Lost Boys.
Do you want to tell us a little bit? You tell us a little bit about this one.
Okay, so The Lost Boys is directed by Joel Schumacher.
Schumacher.
Schumacher. And it's from 1987. God.
Wow.
What's that, 32 years?
Yep.
You're not 32, are you?
In May.
Are you?
Yeah, just a shout out to everyone. Yeah.
Oh. I really thought you were going to be 31. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to hang out with some of that old. So The Lost Boys tells the story of a family who relocates to the small town of Santa Carla, also known as the murder capital of the world, in California. There are two brothers, Sam and Michael, who take very different paths once they've moved there. Sam befriends two vampire hunters in the form of Edgar and Alan Frog, while Michael meets Star and also begins a relationship with the mysterious David. Unbeknown to Michael, David is a vampire, and upon drinking some red wine, which in fact is blood, he too becomes a vampire.
And chaos ensues.
Looks like Jennifer Saunders when you did that.
Thanks.
That's kind of the way she... Nothing wrong with that.
No, she's cool. Mm-hmm. Walked past her husband in Stratford.
Are you Edmondson?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you say hello?
Did I say hello? Or he say hello?
Did you?
No. I was like, that's Edmondson. You know, so no. For God's sake.
Although I was standing right next to Russell Howard, and he apologised to me. And I didn't say anything. I just went, just looked at him.
Weren't you in a queue with Martin Sheen once as well?
No, I was standing right next to him in Galway in Ireland. And his partner, I think it was his wife, was in the shop. And this guy just stood next to me and I just happened to look at him and I went, that's Martin Sheen.
I would be like, President Bartlett, you are awesome.
I know, I was like, do I say anything? But I used to live down the road from Tommy Tiernan as well, the comedian. Irish comedian. He's in Derry Girls. If there's Irish people listening, they know who Tommy Tiernan is. Actually, he's really actually quite big all over the world. So,
sorry.
Yeah.
I do want to watch Derry Girls though.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Season 2 just ended. I think that's the end of it.
Are they? Why do these people keep putting like 2 seasons out and then be done? These comedians.
It's so good. It's so good. Anyway, sorry. We're getting way off track here. Yeah.
So... What are your thoughts on Lost Boys
then? Well, The Lost Boys for me is huge nostalgia. It was in the 80s. I was a teenager. It is the poster film for teenage pinups. Promising talents. And as I said before, because the two Coreys are actually in this, Corey Haim is Sam and Alan Frog is Corey Feldman.
They were both in together.
Yeah, then they went on to do Dream a Little Dream and License to Drive. You know, it didn't work out that way, especially, like I said, for the two Coreys. But it was a film that was huge. It was absolutely massive back then.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it so many times. I had it on VHS. and funny, I didn't know this, actually, but it only took 3 weeks to film.
Yeah.
Over the summer of 1996, but it's probably 86.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And it's a film where characters are completely torn between these two worlds. Obviously, one of the life of a vampire, another is just going about their everyday. And Michael, who we mentioned, turns into a vampire, the brother.
Who's the actor?
Jason Patrick.
He's hot.
Alex Winter, who people might know from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures, he is one of the vampires in this. And he said, he was discussing about the shoot and how it was mostly for them done at night. And they would obviously go to bed at dawn. So they spent most of their time either at night or in a cave. Yeah. So obviously that probably, after 3 weeks, probably took a bit of a toll. And apparently the director was saying that there may have been some narcotics around.
Yes, I've heard this about this movie.
Yeah, it kind of wouldn't surprise me. I know you shouldn't stereotype, but yeah.
Mm. It's, I very blonde thing really, but I was watching it and reading up about it and I was just like, ah, that's why it's called The Lost Boys. And it's the whole Peter Pan thing. Yeah. And I was just like, oh, that's cool. Because I think it's quite a good play on it because it is also like, you know, they're lost souls, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, they're these people who can't grow old. And
yeah, exactly.
I have to say, though, the head vampire, when he turned into a vampire, I burst out laughing. I was like, seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. He was very awkward, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He just didn't, you know.
It's more to do with his makeup.
Yeah, it wasn't. But I suppose it was back in the 80s, so.
Yeah. But again, if you do watch Buffy ever, you, having loved this film, will see the influence from this. Because I watched it and I thought, oh, that's why. Because they very physically transform when they're vampires, right?
Yeah.
And they do that in Buffy.
Yeah.
Whereas in a lot of sort of vampire things, they just
have
go,
a bit of some teeth.
Yeah. And apparently, Whedon took that from this movie. Let's talk about the music.
Cry, little sister. No, the soundtrack is amazing.
Song. Yeah, no, I agree.
You have what? In Excess, The Doors, Echo and the Bunny Man, and of course.
I love that whole. Oh, who? Of course.
Oh, Cry, Little Sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who is, in fact, Tina Turner's saxophone player? The guy who sings it.
Is he the oiled up guy at the beginning?
He's the one that is kind of doing that. I'm doing the dance. He's kind of playing the mic and he's doing...
That was awful, that whole scene.
Well, when he's singing?
Yeah.
And like Star kind of puts her hair.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
like...
And he's like looking at it and then he's like not looking at it. And then he's looking at it really subtly.
I have to say one thing. I hate it when she says her name. When he goes, what's your name? She goes, Star. Yeah, that really irritates me.
I can stop thinking, Twister woman.
She in Twister?
Yeah, she's Bill Pullman's wife. Or fiance.
I thought that was Helen Hunt.
No, because he falls in love with Helen Hunt.
Oh, well,
no,
nice.
Helen Hunt's his ex-wife, and he's got this new fiance, and that's why. Oh. Twist.
Yeah, she does play quite ditzy in some of her newer roles.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Sorry, we keep on going off track with this film. One thing, the music definitely, and it's got that whole boardwalk thing, the fun fair thing.
Oh yeah, well that was filmed in Santa Cruz. Been there.
All right. Is that in LA?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I've been to LA, but
it's like up the coast. Oh, is it? It's not far from San Francisco.
Oh, is it? Is it more that way? Yeah.
No.
Interesting use of music. Works really, really well.
I love that. Thou shalt not fall.
No. I was. I actually had the soundtrack, and remember, I got it on tape. And I listened to it over and over again. But that, do you know what? That was a time where soundtracks, you liked every song.
Yeah.
You know, like that and Top Gun and stuff like that, Dirty Dancing, and you would just, you'd listen to it all, you know, which I don't really feel like you get that so much with soundtracks these days. You kind of have a big number.
I don't know. What about, what about Baby Driver?
Yeah, actually, but it's not as common.
It's more gimmicky now, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. Potentially. Something, however, I'm going to take it away from music now, is that with this, even though it's like a modern, it's set in the 80s, blah, 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 it's still kind of got that gothic-y vibe.
Well, definitely.
Like, the vampires still, even though they're in, like, modern-day clothing, they still sort of look like Renaissance. Yeah. It's kind of gothic-y, you know, long, flappy hair and...
But that was very 80s.
Well, that's, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very 80s, and the hair and the long trench coats and all that kind of stuff.
Who's the vampire with the dark hair?
I think his name is Billy Worth.
Right.
Yeah. But the blonde, the other blonde guy, not Alex Winter, the other one, he passed away, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a few years ago. Oh. He died.
Can I just say, his death scene in that film, and all the blood, yeah. That was something I kind of like, just got a bit...
That was a bit Nightmare on Elm Street when Johnny Depp gets sucked into a bed.
Does he? I've never seen that.
Yeah, Johnny Depp's lying on the bed. He's got like a TV and his earphones on and he gets sucked in and then all this blood just comes spurting out of the bed.
I think it's just a bit of a shame that it turns into this crazy, over the top sort of climactic thing. And then David's just like,
Yeah, no, I see your point. One thing though I did kind of like was, I thought it was very comical. Like the Frog Brothers and Sam. Girl. And like, you know, when they're trying to like get them. And, you know, they go for all the cliches, like the holy water and the garlic and the bathtub is filled and stuff like that. And, no, I thought that they kind of brought a bit of a... Lighting. And the granddad, of course.
I do like Corey Feldman's accent. You know, we've got that, yeah. Put a stick through their heart. Yeah. Let's go for the little one.
The little boy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, no, when they're trying to kill Alex Winters, he's like...
Oh, yeah.
But that's another thing, the little boy. There's always a little lad or a kid in these vampire films, which just tweaks me out.
And there's quite a bit of innocence, I think, to this, like, especially Sam's character, like, when he finds out that his brother is a vampire and he's like... My own brother is a blood-sucking vampire. You wait till Mum finds out. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like he's, you know, broken his Game Boy or something. Like, do you know what I mean? And
yeah, and like when Michael and Star are having that conversation in the bedroom and he's just hiding under his towel and you're just
and he just every now and again he peeks up and he does this little... and he's... Oh, God, he's so... That was one thing, because that was when I, like, one of my times where I was in love with him. But he was just so innocent. Just had these such big eyes and, you know...
Corey Haim,
yeah, and you know, big smile and stuff, and I don't know, I kind of like that because I suppose at that age you know if you actually seen something like that, no, I suppose you'd probably run for the hills, but it's like I suppose he just, you know, it was his brother,
yeah,
and you know you kind of still want to protect them even though, you know, don't eat me.
It did, yeah. It made me laugh. I think when Michael's floating out the window and he's got the phone and he's like, "Mom, he's telling lies" or something like that. And you're like, "What the fuck is this film about?"
Yeah, actually, when you think about stuff like that, yeah.
I did enjoy it though, I have to say.
No, I do, and I think it's more modern in the sense that, you know, like with a lot of vampire films, you've got like the creepy, mysterious castles and the way they're dressed. Whereas these were like core kind of four. Young hip dudes on motorcycles, and they were kind of cool, you know, and edgy.
Yeah, it was like...
They were more relatable as people, apart from the vampire bit, they were actually to look at.
Well, this, like, set off a trend, didn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, like, Buffy followed, and, you know, it started off that whole sexier depiction of vampires that influenced a lot of TV to come.
Yeah, because in, like, things like True Blood and Vampire Diaries, they're quite... A little bit sexual. Yeah, like the like obviously there is a love scene in this, but it's not, you know, as graphic as the scenes that we see today.
No. So you know the guy who did the score for this did the score for Road to Perdition, Thomas Newman.
No, I didn't know that.
You know now.
God, he's been about for a while, hasn't he?
He did. Sometimes when I need to chill out, I listen to his soundtrack to a film. Oh shit, what's it called? Robert, no, Less Than Zero, is that it?
Oh, yeah.
Less Than Zero, that's it. Yeah, that's a good soundtrack. He did that, and it's just like, you can just zone out to that.
My soundtrack, if I just want to sit and zone out, is from The Mission, Ennio Morricone.
Ah, that's a good one.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
I love Ennio Morricone, he's amazing.
Cool.
But yeah, so I think that's our... Rant.
It was a bit
is
of a
the
rant.
Best way to describe that as a last really point. But in a nutshell, we both bloody love it.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
It's a good film.
Yeah.
You know?
True that.
True that. What's our next film, Harry, that you can give a little intro to?
I sure can. Okay, the next film is Interview with the Vampire. And this is by director Neil Jordan, and it was made in 1994. This film is an American Gothic romantic film, it's a lot to say, based on Anne Rice's 1976 novel of the same name. It stars Tom Cruise as the vampire Lestat and Brad Pitt as the vampire Louis. And after the death of his family, Louis is suicidal and meets Lestat, who persuades him to choose immortality over death. The film then follows the antics of Louis over the years, and this is done through him narrating his story to a reporter played by Christian Slater.
Yes.
In the modern day San Francisco. Is it San Francisco?
Yeah. I think it is, yeah.
Do you like this film?
I do.
She says with reservation.
No, I do, but I watched it the other day, actually, because I've seen it a few times, but I haven't seen it in years, so I definitely needed a bit of a refresh. But the bit before Claudia, the little girl, and the woman who she's now made her mother are taken, I turned it off.
This time?
Yeah, I turned it off.
What, in the theatre?
No, when I watched it the other day, I turned it off.
Yeah, no. I mean, when they're in the theatre.
She was just saying, make her my mother.
Right.
And she was lying on the floor, you know, going, ah, like that. And then I turned it off.
Why?
Because I just didn't want to see the scene where the son comes in and gets them.
Do you know what?
I didn't want to see it.
Every time I watch that scene, I think of what my brother said. And he was just like, why didn't they just take their dresses off and hide beneath their skirts? And I was just like, that's a good point.
I didn't think of that.
No, I know, but and I've probably ruined that for a few people, but I reckon those skirts would have done the trick. But it is really sad that
I found
it's when he looks at them and he just like turns and he's like, ugh. You know,
I knew what happened. Does he see that happening? I don't remember.
He doesn't see it happening. He hears it. He knows it's happening, and then he manages to get out, doesn't he? And then he finds them, and they're like dust shapes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
that's
right. But I actually really struggled to watch this film. I found it utterly depressing. And like I said, I turned it off before the end. And I will never watch it again.
Really?
Yeah. And I remember watching this film quite a few times and really enjoying it. But I was just, maybe it was, you know, the frame of mind I was in at the time.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I just cannot watch this. It's too
depressing. It's a very sad film.
It's a very sad film.
It's not, like, a lot of these movies explore the ecstasy and, you know, exoticism of being an immortal, but this film shows pretty much the downsides of life, like that potential lifestyle.
Yeah, they go through, like, you know, the serious highs and lows with regards to, you know, one minute you see them eating rats, the next minute they're hunting the aristocracy to...
But I don't think Louis ever enjoys it.
No, Louis doesn't. Louis definitely doesn't. Like, he does it out of necessity more than anything. And I hated Lestat.
I think you meant to, really.
Yeah, but no, I hated him more than I ever did before. He's utterly barbaric, and he's, you know, when he's laughing at Louis, you know, and all this kind of, and, you know, he's a bit... he's done it for years, and Louis's just been introduced to this, and he's, like, making fun of him because he doesn't automatically take to going around killing people. Do you know what I mean? And I just think...
He's evil.
No, he is evil, but I don't know, I just couldn't... Oh, I just really struggled with it this time. I really didn't enjoy watching it at all, you know?
I think it's an uncomfortable viewing, but I think at the same time it's meant to be. It's like... Okay, so how would you argue the point of this against the point of Silence of the Lambs, which is equally, if not more dark and set in a reality that you know, like...
No, I get that. No, I do. Fair point.
Sorry.
I think, okay, this isn't going to win me any brownie points, but despite what Hannibal Lecter has done, I like him. Okay? I think he has class. I think he's elegant. Whereas when I look at someone like Lestat, he's like a petulant child. Do you know what I mean? He's excitable. He's arrogant, he's rude, he's evil, he's just, there's nothing, take that back, there's one thing. When he kills people, there is an element of mercy there, because when you see, you know, the girl, there's two women, they're in this room and there's two women,
yeah,
and he kills one of the girls and her friend doesn't realize, and then he bites her on the chest and then she sees the blood, and you know, she's going to die, and he's saying, Louis, do it, and he won't, and he finishes her off. You know, so he does that quite a bit, so I feel like he could toy with them more, but he doesn't. But then there's also as well, he kind of hunts people that aren't necessarily the most innocent as well. Do you know, so I know, you know, those women were prostitutes. I'm not saying they should kill prostitutes, but, you know, and especially the old lady who killed her, I think she killed her husband. She murdered her husband and then she, So like, you know, some of the people he kills, well, I don't think they deserve to die, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so.
They're not innocent.
There's a little tiny redeeming quality there. But I just. I know this is going to sound really weird, but I could get on board more with Lecter than I can with him. You know, and I think as well, you've got in Silence of the Lambs, you have like the characters of Clarice and her boss and stuff like that, who are like the good guys who are trying to, you know, solve the, you know, this crime and who's doing what. Whereas in this, there's not even anyone good. You know, like, I can't think of anyone in here that you're like, oh. Maybe Christian Slater's character.
But I don't think he's flawed. He's like, make me one of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that's the point. There's no one in this to root for, you know? And I hate the scenes where Lestat is laughing.
Tom Cruise does it very well.
Oh, yeah. He is exceptional. He in has a film. Very. I mean, he makes you want to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. True. But she, apparently, Anne Rice is just like, he is not the one to play.
She wanted Rutger Hauer, you know, because she said he is Lestat, he looks like that, but they went with him.
But then she warmed to Tom Cruise, didn't she? She
Daniel Day-Lewis was another one as well.
That would have been it. How method would he have gone for that?
Sucking on the blood of some virgin around the corner.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it is a thoroughly depressing film, I'm not going to lie. And everything about it is just dark. It's like, I mean, apparently Brad Pitt couldn't handle how
dark
it was, like, in the making.
Tried to get out of it, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And every scene is just sort of steeped in darkness. There's very little, like, light to it. But I don't know. There's a melancholy in it that I like. I don't know. There's just this melancholy aspect to it. You're kind of, like, drawn to Louis because he's just this sad character. And every time I watch it, I'm like... And I know what the outcome's going to be, but every time I watch it, I'm like, is it just going to change for him? Is it, you know? And I think the saddest part of this film is, and I hate her, I think she's vile, is Claudia, though. Because she's just this, I feel sorry for her. She's never going to grow old. And that scene, the vampires in these movies are different to a lot of other vampires in other things because they literally can't change a single thing about them.
No.
And it's just horrific when she chops off all the hair and then
he
laughs, like you say, he laughs, you know, and she's just like, I can't change, you do this. And, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are very melancholy vampires, I think.
And what do you think of like the whole family dynamic between, you know, when they get Claudia?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's like...
Well, they're basically same-sex parents, aren't they, raising?
Yeah, and they do kind of love each other. It's quite homoerotic in some scenes between them as well, which I think is interesting. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think, like, Louis is the loving parent. Lestat is almost like an annoying older brother to her who teases her and tells her that basically she's the most annoying thing on the face of the earth.
Yeah, this is true.
And... You know, while at one point, you know, she looks like an innocent child, you then soon realise what she has no, she's no control over what she does. Like, you know, when she's getting a dress fixed, she kills someone. When she, you know, she sees a beautiful woman and she's under her dolls. And, you know, there just doesn't, which to be fair, she's only young. Yeah. So she doesn't know how to deal with what's happening to her. But, you know, the thing is, because she's never going to grow up, is that her, you know, obviously she dies, but would that have been her life? like no sort of self-control whatsoever. I want it, I'm taking it.
Yeah.
You know, and that would have been a terrible life to lead. And yeah, and obviously looking at the woman's, the grown woman's body and realizing you're never going to get there, that's obviously going to completely play with your mind, and all the tantrums and the screamings. It was just like, it was like watching a family, like, you know. But then you get that relationship where her and Louis almost become lovers, but without the,
yeah,
the, obviously the physical act. You know, there's one line, who will care for my, who will care for me, my love, my dark angel, when you were gone. You'd never say that to your dad. Do you know what I mean? So there was a kind of a, because obviously as well, she, because do they age in their mind?
I guess so.
Yeah.
She does show elements of maturing.
Yeah, there's, so there's certain things that she says that are quite, oh, you know, that's not the type of thing a child would say, you know?
I was just thinking, I went into some deep thoughts while she was talking about that, is that, like, no, I was listening about the same time. Is that, how awful is it to, I don't know how I'm going to say this, how awful is it to grow older, like you say, in your mind. So you could get to the age of 60, but say you were turned into a vampire at, like, I don't know, whatever she is, 12, and then get to the age of 60, like naturally 60, just 60, like the age you would be, and not be old, but be 12, and then be killed. So you don't surpass that age, that natural, like, that's fucking, like, shit. That's really sad. And that's what happens to her, isn't it? Because she only lives for, like, an extra 30 years or something. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not overly long. Yeah, I find this actually depressing.
I don't find it that, do you find it scary though?
No, not at all. Although I must admit, one scene I didn't like and I found really scary, and I think the audience watching it kind of reflects you watching it, is the theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when that girl comes out, like the young girl, and they all, like, you know, oh, it's horrible. Like, it's so uncomfortable as well. Like, you see people kind of twist in their seats. You know that kind of way when you put your fingers over your eyes, but yet you keep one open, you know, that type of way. It was like that. Like, they completely reflected what people in the cinema would have thought, I'd say.
Yeah. The French vampires in that movie are horrible. Especially the one guy with the scythe who gets chopped.
Oh, the Irish actor.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
He's terrifying.
Stephen something. He's the one that does the kind of dance, doesn't he, when he first sees Louis. Oh my god, he was so freaky. I hated him.
When I saw this as a kid, I was just like, he terrified me.
Yeah, he was the scariest thing in that film.
But isn't Antonio Banderas good? I think he's good. Anyway,
he's beautiful.
He's beautiful. But he that's the thing, they're like, they do that very well in this film, in that they are beautiful. Every single vampire
they are.
Is sort of
Or almost porcelain.
Statuesque.
Yeah. No, I have a thing about Antonio Banderas, actually. I'd love to dance with Antonio Banderas. I'd love him to teach me to dance, because he's just, I don't know, there's just something very, I don't know.
He's got a fantastic voice.
Just beautiful.
He is beautiful.
He's so beautiful.
If ever I could get someone to narrate my life, I'd like it to be him.
Yes, in boots.
Do you ever watch Jane the Virgin?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good. But, like, she has a narrator and he's Spanish and, like, Hispanic. And I just think, okay, that's going to happen. It's going to be Antonio Banderas in my mind.
Yeah, no, that would be good, actually.
I bet, yeah. Oh, okay. I personally really like this film, and it's one of those ones I'll probably watch quite often.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Okay.
I think that's one thing, actually, about this podcast. It's like certain films, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. District 9 was one of them. Yeah, I'm done. You know, I don't need to see certain things again. But I will watch Silence of the Lambs again. I actually watched it about a month ago.
I probably won't watch it again. Yeah. No, and then it's just, like for you, some things are done. Yeah.
Just a little, I won't say fun fact, but River Phoenix was actually up for the role of Christian Slater's, but he died in 1993, in October, I think it was October 31st, actually, at the Viper Rooms that were owned by Johnny Depp. But Christian Slater donated his whole salary to some charities that he supported.
Oh, that's cool.
Which I think is really nice. And I never noticed Roger Lloyd Pack as the piano teacher.
Who's he?
He's Trigger in Only Fools and Horses. He's in Harry.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I never noticed that before. And apparently Oprah Winfrey walked out on the screening of this.
Why?
Apparently she doesn't like, I've noticed this with them. Oh, yeah, they were talking about Us, I think it was. But yeah, she was didn't even want to interview Tom Cruise, apparently. But she just doesn't like scary films. Mm. So she doesn't watch them.
Well, they filmed a lot of it in London, didn't they?
Oh, did they? I didn't know that, yeah.
I might be wrong.
But yeah, overall, it's a great film, but I won't be viewing it again.
You don't do the sad ones, do you?
No, I'm getting older, which is weird because I still do all my true crime stuff. But as I'm getting older, I avoid things now a lot more. I think it's since Riley's come along, if I'm honest with you. You know?
That's very good. So,
yeah. The little fecker has changed me.
In years to come, she's going to be like, oh, do you know what? I'm going to put on one of my mum's podcasts. Oh, she just called me a little fecker.
There was this thing, actually, I'm following this mother's group, and it turns around and it says something about if your child has walked away and you haven't given her two fingers and went, fuck you, you know, mind, fuck you, are you even a parent? And I was like, yeah, I've done that loads of times. I love her, but yeah.
Well, moving swiftly on.
I love this film. Sorry.
This makes me laugh so much that you love this one.
I love this one. I actually was watching it the other day. I thought, any excuse. And Dev goes, you're always bloody watching this film. I love this film so much.
It is a good film. And I don't like, because this is a horror film.
I think this is a horror film. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not a big fan of horror no. films. But
I think this is a horror film.
I saw this at the cinema and I was just like...
I've seen it at the cinema too.
Yeah, I saw it with you. The second time I saw it was with you.
Did I shout?
Yes, you did. That was.
Is that the one there was four of us that went to see it?
You, me, Steve and I think it was Rob went to Bath. And you drove us there and we went to see this. And I remember thinking, right, I got my opportunity here.
Oh, bitch, I remember that.
And I think I leant over... I said, no, you think you were next to me. And I sort of went around you and like touched you on your shoulder and really loud in the cinema. And you went, Jesus, Mary, fuck, Joseph.
Speaking of that, we were at the, myself and Steve were at the cinema the other day and a trailer came on for a film and it made me jump and I shouted so loud. I went, Jesus!
What was the trailer for? It was a trailer.
It was a fucking trailer, yeah. There was a couple of films, but I remember one film, I think it was this one. I call it Superman the Horror Film because I can't remember the name because I thought it was about...
Bright Badge or Badge...
Yeah, because like I thought it was about Superman, but with a twist.
Yeah.
But it's not. But it was that.
It looks weird.
It looks really good. But yeah, I did a bit of a moment there. And I jumped a couple of times in Us. Yeah. So Steve just kind of put his head down.
I forgot what it was like to go to the cinema with you.
To watch a scary film. Yeah, I know. I remember in uni, you liked to be like, let's get Lorraine over to watch that.
Oh, should we tell them what we're talking about?
Mm. 30 Days of Night.
This is directed by David Slade. And it was made in 2007. And I remember the year it came out. Because that was the year we went to uni.
It was the year we went to uni. It is a great film.
Do you want to give us a synopsis?
Okay, so this takes place in a small town in Alaska. One of my dream places to go visit. Which experiences a solid month of darkness each year. And some of the residents head south and others stay to ride out the month. The decision to stay behind soon becomes one that the residents regret as a group of bloody, thirsty vampires descend on the small town, murdering its inhabitants. The local sheriff, Eben, who is played by Josh Hartnett, and his wife, well, kind of complicated wife relationship, Melissa George, are amongst a small group who stay behind and try and survive until the break of dawn. And I did not know that this film is based on comic books by Steve Nars. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, as we've already mentioned, we both love this film. And it is a film I do not have to be forced to watch. And I was gutted. I did not know this. But, you know, I've got my obsession with Alaska. It was bloody filmed in New Zealand.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, what?
Well, there's a few
Do you think the scenes with Ben Foster at the beginning, they have to be Alaska?
Soundstage. This is one of those films which makes me appreciate horror for the way that I appreciate like the tenseness of this movie.
Mm.
So, for example, that scene, I think it's quite a bit into it. There's two things which I really love about this film. And the one is this scene, and it's when they are in the attic. And they're there for a few. I think they're there for like 6 nights or something. Like a long time. And it's just so tense. And again, I think this is why I like A Quiet Place, because they have to be quiet, and it's all about being quiet and having to deal with that. And that vampire's on the landing, and he's like listening out for them, but they managed to get away with it. I really like that. I thought it was well done. It's tense. You're literally holding your breath for fear that this vampire, which is in the movie, is going to hear you. And then the other thing is the overhead tracking shot mm. that happens through the town, and you just see the massacre that's gone on, and it's just quiet, and you're just like, it's eerie as fuck, and it's just so good, that shot. Love that.
Yeah.
Those are the two things I really like about this film.
Yeah, with the the attic scene.
Mm.
No, I agree 100% with that, and what really gives it that little, you know, edge is the dad with Alzheimer's.
Yes, yeah.
You know, because you're trying to shush him up and he doesn't understand, and you're just like, and you can imagine being in that situation, yeah, you know, at a time where you're like, just be quiet.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it. But yeah, no, that
Yeah.
And the girl, do you remember the bait?
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh god. Yeah. What they do to her. They're just savages, these vampires.
Yeah, they're
vampires.
A completely different type of vampire that we're used to seeing
exactly.
in movies. They again that kind of takes it back to they are just primal vicious monsters, whereas for years we've been so used to seeing these sexy, you know, stylized real, you know, there's a human element to their actions, but in this it's not, it's just pack mentality, we want to feast and kill, and it's like, it's unlike any other vampire film that I've seen for a long time, or if ever.
And even the way they look, like with those long fingernails and their black eyes.
They almost look like alien.
They don't look human.
Yeah.
When they toy, you know, when they toy with the prey, like that woman, for instance, and she's like, I did what you said, I tried to get the people out. And they don't just kill her. They, you know, they scratch her face and, you know, they're playing with her.
Yeah.
And it's really sadistic-like. And that's what, they're evil vampires.
Yeah.
And it's like they're not only doing it for survival, but they're doing it for fun.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what, you know, is quite interesting about them. Is like, yeah, it's not, there's no
humanity.
Yeah, but there's no, like, for use of a better word, there's no organisation in what they're doing. Like, you know, they don't go out and, like, Lestat, he'd be like, okay, I'm going to have her. You know, they kind of pick, they're just like, there's a person, I'll have that person, because there's someone there.
Well, I don't think so, because like you said, they put that girl out to be
bait.
They do think they are, like, they
No,
are.
But in the sense, what I mean, like, if they were in Interview with the Vampire, everyone would be dead.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They go for whatever's there. There's no, okay, we're like us, we're hungry, we'll have some dinner, then we won't. We won't eat anything else. Whereas with them, it's like, there's someone there, I have them. They just destroy everything.
Mm.
And when they are calculating about it, like with the girl, it's just for a bit of fun, but they're still going to eat her. Like, do you know what I mean? I just think they don't seem to ever be satisfied.
No, I think, yeah, they're constantly like on the kill, the hunt, aren't they? They're predators through and through. But I think they are still like you use the word calculating, because they obviously decide, they think the best way to get into this town is through the ship, and then they like burn the town
afterwards.
Yeah,
no, those ways. But I meant in the sense that when you watch other films, they don't go overboard in the kills. Whereas if you're there, we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're calculating how they get there and how they try and get. They know that there's people still there, so let's use this young lady to get them out.
Mm.
But, you know, if those people walked out, they just all feast. Like, they'd all, like, jump on them. They're just,
they're almost like zombies in that state,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing there. Like, there's no
soul.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Or if there is, it's just like, I suppose they're kind of a bit like, you know, whenever you watch, I know you don't, but whenever you kind of watch these things about certain
serial killers,
there's nothing there between some, you know, when you look at them and they just don't see anything wrong with what they're doing, you know, and I think that's what these people are. They're like, this is what we do, so this is what we do.
Well, in that sense, what I enjoyed about this film, and I noticed from the first viewing, was it's a bit like Outlaws and.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
It's like the Western, isn't it?
Yeah,
like these outlaws come to town, and you've got the townsfolk and the sheriff trying to fight them off, and I really like that kind of element to it. And they're the outlaws at the end of the day in this, aren't they? They're the pistol tooting.
But yeah, no, I never thought of it like that. And I remember seeing you wrote that down, and I never thought of it like that. But that's exactly what it is. Because those types of towns as well, they're very small. And, you know, you have your bar, your saloon, and, you know, all this type of thing. And, yeah, I thought that was a really good analogy of how to...
Thank you.
Yeah, she does know some things.
It's been a few... I mean, I'm not going to lie, I didn't watch it for this one. This is the one that's... got away, but I have seen this on multiple viewings, and I don't enjoy gory vicious horror, but I did enjoy this.
Yeah, but I know there's a lot of blood, but I didn't find it gory. No, I didn't.
Really?
No, I didn't.
Even on that tracking shot where there's just blood everywhere.
No, it's like, no, I, to me, gory is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like the newer ones.
Yeah.
They're gory. Like, do you know what I mean? Whereas these, I just don't... Like, and I know what you mean, because they're pretty freaking graphic, like, but I just don't find them gory. I don't know why, because you should, because there's a lot of blood. Mm. But I don't know. I just, this film, and it's just... I will watch it again and again and again. I watch this all the time, you know? This will be seen a lot more times.
Well, why?
I just think it's maybe it's because it's the whole different, maybe it's Alaska, I don't know. No, but I think
if anything, this is making you not want to go to Alaska, surely.
No, I'm there. No, but I was watching, I was like, yeah, I still want to go. No, I just like how they're such savages, in the sense that it's not what we're used to. I think that's what it is. It's not what we're used to with vampire films.
Yeah.
The, you know, when the woman's walking and the bait thing and they're on the roofs. That bit creeped me out.
Yeah.
Because you can just see them everywhere, and they're so quiet, and they're just kind of like, you know.
But that's the predatory thing, isn't
it?
They're like animals.
Oh, God,
like,
yeah.
You know, animals do that. They
No, completely. Yeah. Like, there's nothing human in them whatsoever, you know. And I suppose that, yeah, that's what animals do, isn't it? They see something moving that they want, and they just go for it, or they, you know, creep up on it, or, you know, whatever way you want to look at it. But, yeah. No, this is amazing. I'm glad. I think you chose this film, didn't you, for this?
I did.
You picked this one, yeah.
I love how surprised you sound on Sunday. You know, we're friends for a reason.
She likes this film. Yeah, but yeah, definitely a good choice. And like I said, I will watch this again.
I probably will, yeah. I do like
this. I have it on Blu-ray. Although it was on Netflix. Mm. So
you can watch it there?
Yeah, and also I wanted to say about this film, kind of like the way they're killed, it isn't the kind of conventional ways that we're used to seeing. Do you know what I mean? Like, they do it with that fake light. Do you remember the fake light? You know the way usually you used to, like, garlic or a stake through the heart and all that kind of stuff?
Ultraviolet, you mean?
Yeah, ultraviolet light, sorry. But they don't really do that here. Like, you see a lot of the use of an axe.
Yeah.
They basically try and chop their heads off.
Yeah.
And you're not used to, you don't usually see that with, not that I can recall anyway, with vampire movies. They usually go for the old, you know.
Stake in the heart,
garlic,
sunlight,
holy water and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of, and especially when he does it to his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, his friend, and he has to do it to him. So yeah, it's quite sad as well, I suppose, things like that, because that was his buddy. But
and the fact that he becomes vampire.
Oh, God, yeah. We forgot to say the most important thing. Yeah, when he does it, and then at the end when he's...
Sacrifices himself.
Yeah, that was really sad. That was one of those moments as well where I was like, maybe he doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe, as I call it, the Titanic moment.
Mm.
You know, Jack did get on top of that board.
I watched, do you ever watch the GQ, well, there's on YouTube, there's this, would this ever happen in a film, in like reality kind of thing? And Bear Grylls did one for Jack, for Titanic, and he was just like,
there's plenty of room on that board.
I think he was like, neither of them would have survived. And he was like, oh. But yeah, yeah, 30 Days of Night is a very different sort of vampire movie, but I recommend it if you're going to get in, on the genre.
But a little fun fact, I thought, the town, which is called Barrow, which is a real town in Alaska, is about 1,000 miles away from the North Pole. And they do, in fact, experience a phenomenon. I can't say that word. Polar night, and they get 60 days. Ugh. Of nighttime. They get a few hours slight relief, but apparently living there is under 50 degrees Fahrenheit.
And my notes they say, fuck living there.
I still want to go.
Like, there's certain parts of Alaska which look amazing and I'd love to go to, but I'm not, I just don't think I could deal without sunlight for that long. I just, no.
No, but I wouldn't go to that at that time, but I'd go. I will go.
No.
I will.
Well, you do that. See what happens.
Yum, yum, yum.
That could have sounded like something else.
Okay, the next film, Harry's dealing with that one.
I think that kind of just says your opinion of it straight away. We have, well, I thought we should put in a comedic sort of vampire story, so I thought, as I'd never seen it before, we should watch What We Do in the Shadows by Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement, 2014. And I think you can tell what Lorraine's opinion is on this one. Did you get all the way through it?
I had it on, but I don't think, I think my first line of my notes is, what the actual fuck?
No, we were like, it was, because if you...
Cause we ended up watching it at the same time, didn't we? Yeah, we were at different locations.
We watched it at the same time and we were in each other's live notes and I just saw the reads. What the actual fuck? But no, can I, I'm just going to read these notes out, if that's okay. Yeah. Lorraine's notes are... So, actually, before I tell you what the notes are, I'll just give you a quick synopsis. This film is a New Zealand mockumentary horror comedy, and it's based in a creepy house in New Zealand. I think it's Wellington, where it's three housemates are three... No, there's four vampires, sorry, who try and cope with modern life and are followed around by this camera crew. And so, let me go back to Lorraine's notes. It says... What the actual fuck? 3! I could not get into this film at all. I love Taika Waititi and Jermaine Clement, Flight of the Conchords. But this was just mundane documentary about a bunch of roommates who happened to be vampires. And this is the best bit. They were messy, lived in filth, and made a huge mess while eating. Blood everywhere. They were a bunch of kind of idiots.
And then the best bit was, I went, plus, who was filming this? They have a documentary crew. They have a documentary crew following all this. Suppose an example of what people will do to get something on the TV.
Oh my God. I think the point of this just completely bypassed you.
I just couldn't be arsed with it. I was like, you're, no.
But to be honest, your obsession with the mess in the house was the
I know, I've seen that mess and I was like, oh my God. No.
Oh, come on. That line.
Guinea Lane. Sorry, Steve.
It did make me think of that, actually. Mm. But yeah, no, that that line where he says, and all of the bloody dishes, did that not make you laugh? And the dishes are bloody?
No, I was just, I love cleaning. And I just seen those dishes and I was like, no.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
No.
I loved this. This, I was in a real funk this week and this was the highlight of my week. It made me laugh so much. Alec was sat, I think he was doing work at the kitchen table, the dining table, and I was sat writing the notes of this and I was crying at certain points. There is some stellar comedy in
this. No, don't get me wrong, there's maybe it was the mood I was in, I don't know, but
is it the one you're in now?
But God. I mean, they did some funny moments when they did try to do the whole Lost Boys, you're eating worms, and, you know, I liked the, you know, the Blair Witch style running scene. I thought that was...
I think they did that well. Amusing.
Yeah, no, I did. And I liked... when the other guy became a vampire, I liked him.
Nick.
And I liked him telling his mate he wasn't gonna eat him.
See, you're laughing.
No, I know, but it was just, I don't know, there was just parts of it and I was just like, this is driving me nuts. And the stupid woman that, you know, got pissed off that he became a fucking vampire and she wasn't. And
did you not see at the end though?
I don't know.
So Nick turns her into a vampire.
Oh, does she become one?
And then she sat with her husband at the dinner table, right? And she goes, you do realise now that I'm your master? I think what I like, I don't know, and this is a really bad thing to say, but I think even though it's a mockumentary, I think what it kind of feels grounded in the sort of, because it's the New Zealand accent, it just makes the comedy, it kind of just, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stop sighing at me.
No, it was just, it was basically a film about a bunch of bachelors who went out, went to clubs.
Yeah, but they were vampires.
Lived like shit and fucking messy bastards. And
I love how you can twist it and see.
No, there was, I don't know. It's just, I feel like, I don't know. I just thought it was ridiculous.
But that's what it's meant to be.
I know, but not good ridiculous.
Oh, there's so many little elements to this which I really enjoyed. Just like, I bet you had a problem with the scene. You are the main guy, Taika Waititi guy, right? Okay, so, no, here's the scene. I think he brings a girl back to the flat so he can eat her. And
yeah, that's so me.
Wow. No, and he's, like, laying down papers so that he doesn't get blood everywhere. And he's like, right, I'm just going to put these papers down.
You're saying I'd do that.
And then he goes to bite her. Did you see this scene? Mm. And the blood just goes over and he's like, oh, shit. Yeah,
I would be like that. See? A mess.
It's just so funny. I think the writing in this is amazing. And I think it's a really, I think it's a fun play on the whole vampire thing. I think they use the whole, every sort of stereotypical vampire trope in a really funny way in this. They just flip it on its head.
Okay, one thing I did find amusing was when Nick was trying to get out of the house and the three of them were flying towards him. I mean, it's literally like almost like a bunch of men were behind them holding metal bars, trying their best to hold them up as they ran towards them. Don't let go. Like, do you know what I mean?
Did you not? Okay, I'm just telling scenes here, but I'll probably edit this out. But did you not find it funny when the police come and Taika Waititi's character's like, I've hypnotized them. I'm not very good at it, but hopefully they won't see what's going on. And they're all like floating around. And the police are going, okay, like, what's going on? It's so good. Oh my God, I was crying.
Yeah.
I think you need to watch it again.
Okay.
But anyway, stop. I'm going to stop repeating scenes, but I think it was good.
Yeah.
You've got to stop doing this when you don't like a film.
What?
Just going, yeah, yeah.
That's all I have for this. That's all I have. I said a couple of things. I said about the mess. Yeah. No, it was a weird one. It was really weird. And I probably won't watch it again.
Do you not find that kind of humour? Like, did you struggle with, like, Thor and, like, his version of Ragnarok and stuff? Because that's still a similar kind of humour.
What, Thor Ragnarok?
Yeah.
I loved Thor Ragnarok.
But that kind of, it's a similar kind of vein.
Do you know what? Maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it. Sorry, maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I just couldn't. You know,
I think it was, I genuinely think it was the mess that annoyed you.
There was so much mess, Harry.
Oh my God.
There were dishes everywhere. And the worst thing was when he was washing up, did you see the water?
No.
That wasn't clean.
No. They're vampires. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, but they could still wash up in clean water. you know?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. It just that really bothered me.
Oh my god.
Do you know what? Maybe I'll watch it again. Maybe I wasn't in the right frame of mind. But yeah, it no.
Okay.
No. But I might try again. Probably not. I don't have time. I've got so much I have to watch.
Well, yeah, you put an end to that then.
But yeah, actually, I'd be quite curious to see if anyone else thinks the same way, or they actually thought it was good.
That they were annoyed by the mess and then that therefore ruined the rest of their viewing. I don't think so.
I know, mess does freak me out though.
You got to get past this with movies.
I know.
It's not real.
What? But yeah, Harry definitely enjoyed this better than me.
What about the end of The Lost Boys then, when they trashed the house? Did that not like make you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, it was ruined. He's going to have to get another house. There's no doing that up. You'd need some amount of money to get that sorted.
This is true. Is that why you were pissed off with Interview with the Vampire as well? Because he trashed his house. Oh, he's that lights out. Does he know how much that's going to...
I know. I can't believe he burned them down. And then he burned down the whole town.
Did he?
Yeah, oh, when yeah. he burned down the second place. Yeah. Like everywhere was on fire. And I thought, that's a bit, you know, over the top reaction, isn't it? Do you know what, actually, when I was watching that scene, Louis and Claudia, you know, the way they were in the boat and they're looking over, I just kept on thinking, I was like, oh, I wonder if they all insured.
Oh my
God. That's the first thing that was about. I wonder, did they have insurance back then? Yeah.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of the vampire discussion.
I feel like that's been us just having a rant about everything.
It has been a ranty episode, I think.
Yeah, but you know, hey ho. So good. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. And you can find us on Show Me the Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and you can find us on Twitter at SMTBcast. And Harry, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram, WordPress and Twitter as Tales of Peck.
Yeah, and you can find me on Instagram, Twitter and Pinterest as Lorraine Purdon. And as always, if you listen to any of our episodes, just, you know, give us a review, give us some stars, let us know what you think, suggestions for next episodes, you know, because we're always open to what you guys want to hear. And again, thank you for listening. You in your coffin
with a load of mess.
I don't want to go.